Free Talk Live. You can bring up anything that's on your mind. Just dial in toll-free at 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. Here with you this evening, it's Ian.
And Nemi.
I think Mark might be coming back tomorrow night. He's on a cruise off to some fun place with a lot of nice people within the Liberty Movement. And I think he's having a really good time, so I'm sure we'll hear more about that when he returns, if he makes it through the Bermuda Triangle without a scratch. Whatever happened to the Bermuda Triangle? Anyway, no one ever talks about it anymore.
It disappeared.
Apparently. There's a lot going on here. I know that, Nemi, you want to tell us about some prohibition news that came out of an election that happened this week. We'll get to that here in a moment. But first, we mentioned a few days back on this program, somebody called in, actually, to tell us about this upcoming national EAS test. And I had heard, I guess, through the rumor mill that this was coming. I just didn't know up until a few days back when it was going to be. And it was this afternoon, or it was scheduled to be this afternoon at 2 o'clock. And, of course, my question was going to be, well, how much of the country actually had this be a success? Because the idea was the FCC was going to literally take over the airwaves on, I mean, we talk about take control of the airwaves here on Free Talk Live. We're talking about the federal government taking control of every radio station and television station and satellite radio station out there for what was originally scheduled to be a few minutes. Then they decided they were only going to cut it down to like 30 or 60 seconds, I guess due to complaints from people about how long the EAS test was going to be. And surely people are familiar with the EAS test. If you've ever watched television or listened to radio, you've no doubt heard or seen programming simply just interrupted, and then tones being played, and then some voice telling you that this is just a test of the emergency alert system. This is only a test. Had this been a real emergency, you would hear instructions after this message, or after the tones or whatever.
Always makes the hackles on my neck go up, you know.
Why is that?
I don't know. The last time, there's a specific tone that goes out when there's a weather warning, at least on the radio, and I imagine it's the same signal that goes out over TV.
Yeah.
And there was a severe flood here in Keene. I don't know if you were here for it.
Several years ago,
yeah,
before I got here.
2005. It was crazy. I had 3.5 feet of water in my basement.
Whoa.
National Guard on my street. And it was crazy. People, the fire department came by. We were evacuated twice inside a week. It was really pretty crazy. It was right after Katrina hit New Orleans.
Mm.
So anytime, you know, it had rained and rained and rained before that. But anytime that I hear the tone now, it used to be something you dismiss.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, okay, turn it up. I need to know what's going on. Uh-oh, is there going to be 3.5 feet of water in my basement again?
Now, I understand the idea behind the emergency alert system. It is a mandated part of the FCC. You know, they force all licensed stations to participate in the EAS system. And up until today, the idea was that EAS was to be used for regional, local alerts. So, like, a thunderstorm happening in Tampa, Florida, doesn't matter to people in California, so
right,
they're not going to get that alert. But the people in Tampa and Sarasota or whatever, the surrounding areas there would get it. And the system mostly worked in that way. Of course, it's been in development for many, many years, and it's been implemented for many, many years. And so now they decided that they were going to take it nationwide, that they already have all these pieces of hardware installed at the various different stations around the country. So they wanted to come up with a way to literally control all of them at once. And it's kind of creepy. Actually, it's pretty creepy, the idea that the federal government now can just break in on any television or radio station, on all television and radio stations simultaneously, and issue some kind of an emergency message of some sort. It's scary.
I think it's been precipitated, not that I condone what's happened, but I think it's been precipitated by Clear Channel. And like you, radio, as a radio station here, or KVK here in town, if there's something urgent going on that you need to get out over the air immediately, you call the station and someone actually answers the phone. But the radio industry, as I understand it, over the last 15, 20 years has been gradually going to a digital signal where there is no DJ at your local radio station. So you can't really call them and say, get a message out over the radio.
You're partially right.
Okay.
The signal whether it's digital or analog doesn't matter, but there has been cutbacks, or there have been cutbacks over the years in the radio business, and part of that is because of consolidation, and Clear Channel certainly is the biggest offender when it comes to consolidation.
That's the name I knew.
Yeah.
So I'm sure there are other companies out there.
They're the biggest radio company in America, but they're not as big today as they used to be. And what happened, and I kind of went through this because I was working in radio in the late 90s, started as an intern in 1997, got hired the next year, and so I was there when this kind of transition to digital operation came over. There's a difference between digital signal and what's going on in behind the scenes. So, like, what happened was they brought in computer systems to run all the music, which is a great idea because it, you know, it's going to lower costs and
But we have the technology.
Yeah, so like the tech is good. It's great from a tech perspective. But on the other hand, obviously what was going to happen was that people were going to lose their jobs. And that's what happened because you no longer needed somebody to literally grab a CD, put it in a CD deck, take a cart, which is where they have all the, you know, like the what they call sweepers or liners in the business, 1079,
right.
You know, and then the call letters. So you wouldn't have to have somebody physically there to do those segues, to transition between songs and play the commercials and all that. It was all done by a computer. And sure enough, Clear Channel decided to consolidate their business.
Make it big.
And they basically what the computer system allowed them to do, because it could be networked as well. So what ended up happening was they basically fired all the overnight guys except for in, like, the biggest of the big markets. So, like, all the overnight guys lost their jobs. And then, say, the afternoon guy in Tampa would record or the afternoon guy in Sarasota would record a shift in Ohio or something like that. And so they would record, like, the overnight shift there. And so basically they kind of increased the responsibilities for the existing staff and got rid of some of the existing staff.
I'm looking at a Christian Science Monitor article on how the test actually went, and there are some pretty funny quotes in here. It says, quote, 2012 and our emergency alert system still sounds like a speaking spell and looks like an Atari 2600.
So, yeah, let's talk more about exactly what happened today at 2 o'clock Eastern time when this big national test was supposed to go off. Of course, my question before was, well, how successful is this going to be? It's a government project. They're trying what is essentially a really big idea, and that is to coordinate a simultaneous test across thousands of radio and television stations. I mean, it's a big goal, and of course, when it comes to the government, they tend to fail at everything they do. So inevitably, I was likely to predict failure, and indeed, it did fail. But to get back to your statement about Clear Channel being what precipitated this, I don't think that's true at all. Stations have for years been beholden to the FCC. I mean, every one of these stations has an FCC-granted license.
And had to run the alert anyway.
Yeah. And if they don't do what they're told by the FCC, they'll have their license pulled. And so they already had the equipment installed for this test. It was just a matter of changing the operation somewhat to make it so it could be done nationally instead of just locally and regionally. So it sounds simple, but of course it's not really that simple.
I bet not.
And what happened with Clear Channel, by the way, with consolidation, in the 1990s, they changed. There was some law that changed to allow companies to own more than a certain amount of radio stations because it used to be a restriction on, well, you can't, Nemi, you can't own more than X amount of stations within a certain geographic area.
Right.
And the idea behind that was to encourage competition. Of course, if they really wanted to encourage competition, they would have allowed anybody to start their own radio station, which, so it's kind of like, you know, a way for them to control things even further.
Right.
And by relinquishing that restriction, it simply allowed the biggest players in radio to gobble up more stations from the moms and pops. And that's ended up being what happened. And now you've got a handful of companies that own the supermajority of radio stations out there. Not to say that, you know, I have a problem with Clear Channel. I mean, I cut my teeth over at Clear Channel. That's where I learned how to do business. And a number of our stations that carry the show today are Clear Channel. So the big companies have their problems, and they're the same problems that every big company has. I mean, the larger you get, the more bureaucratic you become, the more oriented towards maybe the wrong things you become. So instead of being oriented towards making listeners happy, they're more oriented towards returning numbers for their shareholders. And I think that that's a problem. I think private radio companies probably do better than public ones because they don't have to worry so much about meeting the next quarterly report and hitting certain goals. They can focus on more of the long term of, well, it's going to take a long time for us to make this radio station a success. So what happened today at 2 o'clock? We'll find out.
It's the Cosby Radio Minute with thoughts and observations from America's favorite comedian, actor, and author, Bill Cosby.
But you see, fathers are more fun than mothers because fathers are the only people in the house who are allowed to have gas. And they don't care either. They just sit right there and oh. And you always know when they're finished because they say, oh, boy. My father would do it and blame it on invisible animals. Oh. You see that elephant right under there? And my brother was dumb enough to look for it. Now here comes my mother. All right, get oh, Lord, what happened in here? Said, Mom, there's an elephant under Dad's chair. Did you see it? No, but it looked Dad up about 2 feet. You know my father's favorite game? Come here and pull my finger.
For the latest info on how to connect with Bill Cosby, please visit BillCosby.com. Bill Cosby, America's most beloved funny man, is back with his first humor book since the best-selling Cosbyology. In I Didn't Ask to Be Born, But I'm Glad I Was, his hilarious new collection of observations, Bill Cosby brings us more of his wonderful and wacky insights into the human condition that are sure to become classics. I Didn't Ask to Be Born, But I'm Glad I Was, the newest book from the legendary Bill Cosby, is available wherever books are sold. This Your Family Today tip is brought to you by Stouffer's, helping bring your family together with wholesome dinner options, even on the busiest of nights. Find dinner table ideas to bring your family together at letsfixdinner.com. To get kids involved in dinner time conversation, ask specific questions, not broad ones. Instead of what happened today at school, try what was the best thing that happened today. The more specific you are, the more they'll have to say. For more tips like these, visit us at parenthood.com/yourfamilytoday.
Local Army Navy surplus stores are hard to find these days, but not military-issue supplies. They're right here online at mainmilitary.com. That's right, just like the state, M-A-I-N-E, military.com. We have everything for true, total preparedness. MaineMilitary.com is not a typical website. It has much more than your old surplus store. Quality military-issue survival gear like canteens, mess kits, utensils, gas masks, filters, and chemical suits, magnesium fire-starting tools, strike anywhere, waterproof, and storm matches, first aid kits, splints, tourniquets, parachute 550 cord, military manuals, sandbags by the bale, and a huge Molly assortment of vests and pouches for every need. Call 207-989-6783, 207-989-6783, or visit mainmilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E military.com, the main name in military supply.
Ready for cold and flu season? Now's the time to get ready and save during the pre-winter sale at HerbalHealer.com. Stock up on powerful, natural flu fighters like olive leaf extract, elderberry power, and grapefruit seed liquid. Don't forget your vitamin D3 this winter. Right now, HerbalHealer.com has 120 soft gels, 1,000 IUs, on sale for only $9. And remember, HerbalHealer.com offers eFoods Global products, delicious, premium, storable foods that contain no MSG, no trans fats, no GMO, and have a 25-year shelf life. Click the eFoods link on HerbalHealer.com and try eFoods storable meals for free. Bookmark HerbalHealer.com, then experience live chat, correspondence courses, and sign up for our free newsletter. As always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Log on and hit the pre-winter specials at HerbalHealer.com. Healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.
Now, more Free Talk Live. Dial in at 1-855-450-FREE. That's...
This is Free Talk Live. You can bring up what you want. If you dial in toll-free, the number for you, 855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-3733. You can join us on our website at freetalklive.com. We give you the features on the site there completely free. Once again, that's freetalklive.com. freetalklive.com, and those features include archives, so if you've missed a moment of the show, no big deal. They're right there. Just click and download. You can go all the way back to late 2006, all for free at freetalklive.com. Ruger's new SR-40C is the compact version of the recoil-reducing striker-fired SR-40 pistol, one of the slimmest and most ergonomic full-sized 40-caliber pistols on the market today. The SR-40C is based on the same high-performance glass-filled nylon frame as those used on so many great Ruger pistols, offering the same features, including a slim frame, short trigger reach, reversible backstrap, and ambidextrous controls. The SR-40C features a through-hardened stainless steel slide or alloy steel slide with Nitrodox Pro Black finish. See it at Ruger.com. Purchase it at your local gun dealer. That's Ruger.com. We've been talking about the radio business, and I've been involved in it quite a long time, pretty much my entire adult life. So I've watched it kind of change and morph and in many ways get worse over the years as companies decide that cutting costs is going to be the way to success. And while I understand that particular viewpoint, obviously if you're spending too much on things you shouldn't be spending money on, that's not good. But if you cut costs to the bone and you sacrifice the quality of your product, then that's going to make you suffer in the long run because your customers are going to, and in the radio business you have two customers. There's the listener and the advertiser. And your customers aren't going to be happy if you're not providing them with a good product. So we were talking about this national EAS test that was supposed to go off at 2 o'clock in the afternoon Eastern Time today, where the FCC and FEMA or whatever were going to take over, literally take over the airwaves on every television, radio, and satellite channel in existence, apparently, in the United States. So we'll talk more about how that went. But you'd kind of brought up, Nemi, how it is that you thought the Clear Channel was a factor in this. And
albeit a minor one. I certainly didn't think it was the cause, the whole cause. But
right. Now, this is just the government getting larger and more intrusive over time, and them flexing their control over radio stations is really all this is. So it seems like the natural evolution, if you will, of a horrible idea, which is the idea that the government should be able to take over radio station airwaves and announce whatever it is they're going to announce. And I still have yet to figure out exactly what the purpose of this particular system is. Like, what sort of information are they expecting to transfer to people with this system?
Well, here's the thing, and surely you're right in that it will kick open a door for it to transmit any sort of message that it wants to. But I'm reading from the Christian Science Monitor, and it said, according to one of the researchers, 3 decades of research clearly shows people don't respond to messages, no matter how imperative, unless they include the following: providing authority for the message, deliver over multiple diverse and different communications channels, so that takes over everything, as they've done here. Messages must be repeated frequently, tell people what to do, explain why protective action must be taken, keep the message simple, and do not broadcast contradictory messages.
That all makes sense, but I think that the federal government is the wrong way to go about it. I mean, if you mentioned there was a flood situation here in Keene several years ago, and when you tune into local radio during a dangerous situation, whether it be a hurricane or tornadoes or whatever, it's the jocks and the producers and the people that are on the ground there that are the ones that are doing the real work. I mean, they're the ones that are collecting phone calls from people, and they're hearing, getting reports of what's going on where, and they're giving reports of what's happening where, and they're the ones that are putting out the useful information. To have some automated message come on instead and deliver in a robotic tone
exactly.
The news is not, I think, the most effective way to do these things. So this seems to be all about control, because I've yet to really, besides an imminent nuclear strike. And, of course, if that were to happen, there ain't a damn thing you can do to prepare for it, besides, if you happen to have a nuke shelter you can jump into. It seems pretty unlikely that this national EAS system could be used for anything else. Like, what could it be that would be of interest to the people in Stockton, California, as in Washington, D.C., as in Miami, Florida, as in Keene, New Hampshire? Like, these are people in very, very different locations. If something awful is happening in one of them, is it really necessary to interrupt programming in those other locations to get that information out?
It may not be necessary, but it may be good to have from the perspective of the government.
Well, from the perspective of the government.
Because, we may not know everything that's going on, Ian. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
I get what you're saying, but from the perspective of the government, it's good to have this so they can issue whatever kind of propaganda they want, as far as I'm concerned.
Well, sure. I would agree with that.
That's where this seems to be going to me. But here's some of the news from ABC News. Their headline on this, National Emergency Alert Test, Total Failure? Today at 2 o'clock Eastern, the Department of Homeland Security and the Federal Communications Commission held its first nationwide test of the emergency alert system. While many viewers and listeners experienced the test without a hitch, as soon as 2 p.m. Eastern hit, there were reports of problems in cities across the country. Some people never saw an alert. Others said the audio was distorted. And there were even claims that Lady Gaga's song Paparazzi was playing instead of the correct audio. On ABC television in Los Angeles, a screen flashed with the EAS graphic for several minutes, but there was never any audio or information given. Now, they had said that this was only going to be a 30 or 60 second thing here, so they took over stations for much longer than what they promised. When normal programming returned, the anchor's microphones weren't working. The alert was supposed to run for about 30 seconds. However, many stations, it lasted much longer. In D.C., WJLA television was stuck on the EAS slate for 4 minutes, and WMAL-FM had dead air for nearly 2 minutes before the test finally ran. Once the test started, the audio was garbled. WAPI in Birmingham, Alabama, tweeted that the entire area had had problems with the alert. The station wrote that it didn't air on any station in our cluster or on any television station in the market. Callers with DirecTV reported seeing Lady Gaga. On the television feeds at ABC News headquarters in New York City, CNN ran a preview graphic saying soon emergency test alert, but the actual test never ran. Both ESPN and Fox News teased that the test was coming up, but it never happened. And on MTV, it was afternoon programming as normal. Craig Fugate, the administrator of the Federal Emergency Management Agency, told ABC News the only way to improve the system is to test it. He said, "I'm concerned we're probably seeing more failures than what we thought, but we didn't know what we didn't know. If you don't test, you can't fix." That much is certainly true. He said, "We can't afford to have this happen for an actual event. I'll take criticisms. I know people weren't happy. I apologize for the disruptions that people went through, but we need to test things to find out what works and what doesn't." So according to the results, it sounds like it didn't work, and it was a miserable failure on the part of the FCC. And so something that people can laugh at when it comes to the ability of the government to pull these sorts of things off. Unfortunately, though, because it didn't work means that you can expect more of these tests
to come up
in the future.
Yeah.
Of course, whether or not it did or didn't work, they would likely continue doing these national EAS tests because the majority of the times you hear those tones on the radio,
something's
going
down. Yeah.
No, it's never. It's hardly anything's going down. They hardly ever use those things.
Right.
So how often they will end up doing these national tests is a good question. And at what times they will occur and what will they end up using this system for? You're welcome to speculate at 855-453, 1-855-450-3733. Prohibition news coming up. Actually, Nemi's going to share some good news with us. It's Free Talk Live.
Becky, thanks for calling.
Oh, no problem.
Lyle, honey, it's time to go home.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that he keeps saying?
DoubleMySpeed.com.
DoubleMySpeed.com.
What is that?
Oh, this amazing site. Lyle logged on to DoubleMySpeed.com, got a free comprehensive diagnosis, and within minutes, he knew exactly what was slowing down our PC.
Wow.
Anyway, DoubleMySpeed.com removed dangerous spyware and a virus.
No kidding.
They cleaned our computer remotely and restored it to peak performance.
DoubleMySpeed.com. DoubleMySpeed.com.
We know, Lyle. He's so excited about DoubleMySpeed.com that he wanders the neighborhood to spread the word. But the only thing he can say is DoubleMySpeed.com at double speed.
Gee, I wonder if Don knows about DoubleMySpeed.com.
Oh, Lyle sent him an email.
Don, do you know about
DoubleMySpeed.com? DoubleMySpeed.com?
DoubleMySpeed.com?
Get your free diagnosis at DoubleMySpeed.com, and within minutes, find out what's slowing down your PC.
DoubleMySpeed.com?
Yes, it was a group email.
Get your free diagnosis today. DoubleMySpeed.com. Your PC, like new again. DoubleMySpeed.com.
If you constantly feel run down and tired, your pH level might be low and your body could be full of toxins. If what you drink is not at a pH level of 8 or higher, you are inviting bacteria and acid to thrive in your body. But there is something you can do. Simply add 10 drops of AlkaVision plasma pH drops to your water to help your body rid itself of acidic waste, increase oxygen, and raise your pH balance to optimum levels. AlkaVision plasma pH drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals in the world, alkalizing the water you drink, ridding your body of acidic waste and toxins, and helping you regain energy and vibrant health. And studies show viruses, bacteria, and toxins cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops at AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or call 269-409-1776. 269-409-1776. Alkalize your body. Supercharge your health at AlkaVision.com today.
If you owe money to the IRS, you can't make the problem go away by yourself. But with the help of Dan Pilla, you can get your problem solved once and for all.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla. For 30 years, I've helped thousands of people solve their tax debt problem, and I can help you solve yours too. We take a very simple but proven three-step approach to solving your problem. First, we stabilize IRS collection actions so you don't have to worry about the IRS seizing your bank account or paycheck. Next, we build a comprehensive plan to get your tax debt reduced to the fullest extent possible, sometimes even completely eliminated. And finally, we work with you every step of the way to get your problem solved once and for all. Call us for a free consultation. Call 1-800-346-6829. We'll work together to get your problem solved guaranteed.
Dan Pilla has been protecting taxpayers from the IRS for 3 decades, and he can help you too. Call us today at 800-346-6829. That's 800-34-NO-TAX.
With the economic bad news getting worse each day, are you ready for the hard times ahead? This is Alex Jones with a special self-reliance report. I've said on this program before that studies show that in a true crisis, 8 out of 10 people will remain sheep-like and passive, frozen like deer in headlights of an oncoming car, waiting for others for help. 1 out of 10 will actually panic and endanger family and friends as they melt down. And only 1 out of 10 will take swift and decisive action when the going gets tough, dramatically increasing their chances of survival. Folks, I've just read a new book called Ready for Anything. It's a must-read for anyone who wants to increase their chances of survival in the coming hard times ahead. To read more about this important new book, go to readyforanythingmanual.com. That's readyforanythingmanual.com. I've got my copy. Get yours today at readyforanythingmanual.com. That's readyforanythingmanual.com.
This is Free Talk Live. Call in now, 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Bring up whatever you want. Dial in toll free at 855-453. That's a number brought to you by SACL CAI. It's 1-855-450-3733. You can take control here. We're going to get into some prohibition news in a moment, but also have your phone calls to get to. But first, I want to tell you about how to give your friends and family this holiday season peace of mind. We're talking about dealing with unemployment, inflation, food shortages, natural disasters, just to name a few. You can get prepared and protect your family by choosing wisefoodstorage.com. They offer delicious ready-made meals like cheesy lasagna and savory stroganoff that are packaged for freshness in individual metal Mylar pouches and carry a 25-year shelf life. You prepare them in just minutes by simply adding water. Visit wisefoodstorage.com or call 855-FOODWISE today. You can get a free entree sample, and if you use promo code FTL for a limited time, you can get no-cost shipping and 10% off of any order. That's wisefoodstorage.com, 855-FOODWISE. Use promo code FTL, and you'll get free shipping and 10% off of any order. Peace of mind, the greatest gift you can give to the ones that you love. Let's continue here with you and your thoughts. Ty is listening in Tennessee on the Amp Lines. Hello, Ty.
Hey, good evening. I wanted to talk a little bit about kind of tying in what your emergency radio thing, radio and TV thing with a caller last night was talking about how regulation is good, that, you know, all hell would break loose if there wasn't regulations. I think that there's different ideas about what regulation means. And I think the bad thing about regulation is when the monopoly of violence or the monopoly of aggressive violence has this ability to regulate, regulation becomes control only. It means the ability to either stop or start discard it or usurp it. Whereas in the marketplace, regulation means to meet a standard.
Mm-hmm.
So I think you guys brought up some really good points with that caller last night about how, you know, there's government regulations right now, but the things he was talking about that would be problems are still problems, even with government regulation. And that's because to the government, it just means to be able to control the market.
Well, right. The people that advocate for regulations, like the gentleman that called last night, have this fantastic view of government, and they just believe that if there are enough regulations and enough regulators and regulatory agencies, that everything could be made safe.
Perfect.
And that we wouldn't have any danger from any products that would be offered in the marketplace, and we just need to have more rules, and those government bureaucracies got to have bigger budgets, and that would just solve absolutely everything. So that's, you know, usually the answer to why things happen from their perspective is that there's just not enough regulation.
If only there were a law.
What do you mean by that?
Oh my God! You know, I'm glad you brought that up, because there's, anytime I hear that there ought to be a law, I think people should realize that if there's going to be a law, it needs to be something worth killing somebody over, because that's what it really comes down to. You know, if somebody breaks a law and you want to throw them in jail, what if they resist? Well, if they resist enough, you're going to have to kill them. You know what I'm saying? So before you say there ought to be a law, you know, there ought to be a law against murder, because, you know, if you're going to enforce that, yeah, you know, you could kill a murderer if you're trying to bring them to justice. Other than that, you know, parking tickets, things like that, no, there shouldn't be laws on that.
Well, and of course,
I guess I'm getting off on a tangent.
Well, no, that's all right. I mean, the other thing worth pointing out when it comes to the, you know, the idea of, well, there needs to be more regulation, is, as I mentioned last night, where does it ever stop? Because he admitted that the regulators have been paid off. He's seen people pay off these regulators. So how is it you're ever going to stop that from happening? How you've got corruption in various different levels of the government, whether it's cops and drugs and selling them or confiscating them and then taking them for themselves, or stealing money from drug dealers, or in the case of regulatory agencies, being bought off, like the BP oil platform, where the regulators were one of the regulators was going in having sex with the workers on the platform and sniffing crank with them or whatever. I mean, so how do you stop that? What's the solution there? Of course, the solution's always more government and more regulators, even though that is the same thing that created the problem in the first place.
Right, it just screws things up even more. You know, there's going to be problems in the market. The market is not a perfect thing, but the people who provide a product and a service, they want people to buy more, so they're not going to try to poison their customers. They're not going to try to, you know, rip them off, not if they want to stay in business.
Yeah.
So it does provide regulation as far as having a standard automatically. It's already there just because of market incentives.
And you can see this everywhere. I prefer the term certification when it comes to the marketplace and how things work. Regulation just kind of has more of a governmental feel to me. And, you know, a lot of places you can have certification, like UL certification,
right,
of various different products.
Right.
There can be different certifications of cleanliness and anything. I mean, Consumer Reports was mentioned last night. They can certify a number of products in a various different ways. So I think that's more of a positive sounding term. But I agree with you that in the absence of the government regulations, the marketplace would handle all of this stuff. And in many places, it's the market's certifications that are higher standards than the government. So, for instance, when you go to restaurants, they have what they call ServSafe certification. The people that are handling the food have to be certified by ServSafe in order to know that you're not supposed to sneeze on stuff and you're not supposed to, you know, handle it with dirty hands, like all the basic stuff that you're supposed to know, and about peanuts and allergies.
Right.
And they go through all this information, and the reason why is because, like you said, they don't want to hurt their customers, and they want to make sure their employees are acting responsibly so they don't hurt their customers, so they'll come back time and time again. To us, it seems like a no-brainer, and I think the reason for that is because we believe in people. I think fundamentally one of the big differences between the advocate of regulation and the people we're talking to right now, talking about certification on a voluntary basis, the difference is that the advocate of regulation believes that people are animals, and they're dogs, and they must be controlled and put down as if necessary, and that they're evil by nature. And
all
that
of
given
the same rules apply across the board, I think. It's what I see from you in terms of SurfSafe, it is.
Mm-hmm.
If I understand correctly, that is handled in the free market as well, because not only can you put it on your menu as we're certified, but it also gets you a discount on your insurance.
Yeah, I believe that's true. And
government regulations do not make things safer, and it actually gives the illusion of safety. And when you have the illusion of safety, you're actually in more danger.
Yeah, because people get sloppy.
I would agree with that, yeah.
And they trust that, oh, well, the government's taking care of it, so we don't have to pay as much attention as we might otherwise do. But real quick, back to the human nature point. If it's true what the people who believe in regulations believe, and that is that humans at any point, at any opportunity, will stab another human in the back, they will take advantage, they will cut costs and cut corners and possibly put people in danger just to make a couple extra bucks, which is what the guy was advocating last night, then it's a really negative view of humanity, in which case I have to ask the question, if it's true that human nature is by nature evil, which is what they're advocating, then why on earth would you want to have the opportunity for evil people to be getting control of others? Why would you want to give them the power to wield over other human beings when you're saying that humans are evil by nature? What makes you believe, if you believe that's true, what makes you believe that only the good people, only the few remaining good people, will somehow magically get elected into these positions of power, which everybody should know would attract those who are more likely to do evil and do harm to folks? What kind of ludicrous fantasy world are you living in to believe that if the humans are evil, that they would somehow not be able to wrest power and control over others? It's ludicrous.
Very good point. Very good point.
Ty, anything else you want to share tonight?
That was it. Thank you very much.
Thanks for the call. Thanks, I appreciate Ty. It. 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. Of course, I think people aren't evil by nature. I think people are good by nature.
And I think certification really plays to that more so than regulation does. It's an encouragement to do better rather than punishment for doing poorly.
Absolutely. And the marketplace encourages people to do better as well by the fact that there's always competition out there. So if you drop the ball and you're not doing as good of a job at keeping things safe and clean as you should, then your competitors are going to pick up your business and you're going to have a tough time. Maybe you'll even go out of business too.
That's right.
More coming up. This is Free Talk Live.
Hi, everybody. Jason Lewis here. Once again, for my friends at Midas Resources, these are hard times for investors. You don't know which way to go. Is the market going to recover? Is the Washington spending machine going to continue? And that means a lot of debt and maybe printing money to cover the debt. They call it monetizing the debt, but that's a fancy way of saying inflation. And a lot of people are worried about that. So you need the ultimate inflation hedge, and that's gold. Now, let me be clear about this. Commodities fluctuate in price. They can go up and down. Very volatile. There's no guarantee. But if you want the ultimate inflation hedge, you need to talk to my friends at Midas Resources. The number, 1-800-686-2237. If you're interested in converting your IRA to gold or would like to have it in your possession, call Midas today at 1-800-686-2237. It's Midas Resources, 1-800-686-2237 for gold, and tell them Jason sent you.
Did you know nuclear radiation is still spewing out of the melted down reactors in Fukushima, Japan, and making its way across the entire U.S. continent, contaminating the air, water, and food? Dangerously high levels of radiation are a reality here. As a result, radiation poisoning is a distinct possibility for anyone living in the U.S. unless you do something to protect yourself. How? With liquid zeolite from RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Without a doubt, liquid zeolite is by far the best product to remove radiation from your body. It safely removes toxins and heavy metals, boosts energy levels, and promotes a strong immune system. Liquid zeolite is so powerful it was used to clean up contamination in Chernobyl, yet so gentle you won't even know you're taking it. Liquid zeolite comes with a money-back guarantee, but is only available at RestoreYourHealthNow.com. Learn how to get free bottles of liquid zeolite by calling 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or go to RestoreYourHealthNow.com. That's RestoreYourHealthNow.com.
Warning, this content is powerful and may cause others to reject your knowledge. If you want to know what happened to America, if you like cutting-edge information, if you need to convince someone that something different than what they believe is actually taking place, and to experience the true history of America you won't find anywhere else, get the new book, Satan's Show. Satan's Show is a hard-hitting look at what many know as the Antichrist and proof of a mind-control agenda. Learn how America was tricked into entering World War I and get over 9 hours of audio and over 700 reliable web links. Satan's Show is available in ebook and audio downloads. Click the special offer for $14.99 and you'll receive both, plus Operation Northwoods on audio free with purchase. Download today at satansshow.com. You will be shocked. You will be amazed. SatansShow.com.
Plan a healthy garden easy and fast with Organicaseed.com. Easy because Organicaseed.com offers one of the largest online selections of organic, heirloom, non-hybrid, and untreated seeds, as well as tobacco and cotton seeds at low prices. Go to Organicaseed.com, spelled O-R-G-A-N-I-C-A-Seed.com. Organicaseed.com. Remember, Organicaseed is healthy seed.
HempUSA.org has a revolutionary wonder food for detoxing the body and rebuilding the immune system.
Microplant powder can help unclog arteries and soften heart valves while removing heavy metals, virus, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Plus, it cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Keep your body clean with microplant powder. Visit us at HempUSA.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
You're listening to Free Talk Live. Call 1-855-450-FREE. That's 1-855-450-FREE.
This is Free Talk Live. Dial in toll free. 855-450-FREE. That's the number brought to you by SACL CAI. 855-450-3733. Here with you tonight, it's Ian.
And Nemi.
And we'll continue here taking your phone calls about what you want. We've got Bing on the line in Kentucky. Bing, you're on Free Talk Live. Hello.
Hey, guys. How are you doing today?
Just great. What's on your mind, Bing?
Awesome. I've got a question if you guys have ever thought about this or if this has ever been brought up. But I believe Ron Paul is actually a voluntarist.
Yeah. Somebody's called and suggested that. That question's come up a number of times in the past, and I would say that it's probably true.
I would have to agree, yeah.
Yeah, I heard him today in a couple of videos. I think they were from the past few days, and he actually used the word voluntarist twice in the video.
Really?
So it
what was the context?
Basically voluntary interaction dealing with healthcare is what the context was in the video that I saw.
Yeah, I mean, it's great to have somebody like Ron Paul out there dropping terms like voluntarist because inevitably someone's going to hear it and get curious and go and look it up. And of course, for those that don't know, voluntarism is what? How would you define it, Bing?
Voluntary interaction between two people.
Yeah, consensual interaction between human beings, sure. And that a voluntarist believes that everything should be based on consent.
I think I am inclined that way myself.
You described yourself as a minarchist the other day.
I do, but I'm conflicted in some ways. Because, you know, I would really like to participate on the planet Earth as I see fit, and yet I'm not. At this point, and I'm not sure that's really a realistic desire, but I can appreciate the standpoint for sure.
Bing? Jimmy, I think you'll slowly be changed.
You're not the first person to tell me that. I've had folks tell me I'm actually an anarchist, and they'll wear me down sooner or later. So let me over.
I don't much
care. Ian will certainly do that.
Well, I think it's interesting that, does Ron Paul ever use the term anarchist? I bet he doesn't.
I don't
think I've heard him ever use the word anarchist, and it's probably a good word to stay away from.
Yeah, I would agree.
He's no dummy, that Ron Paul. So, Bing, anything else you want to share?
Yeah, we actually just had elections, general elections here in Kentucky for a few different positions, and I just wanted to bring up a few different candidates. They didn't win, of course, but they were very interesting to me. Hmm. There's this guy by the name of Kenneth Mullen, and he was running as a libertarian for the state treasurer, and he wanted to get rid of the position altogether. That was, like, in his statement that that's what he wanted to do. He wanted to automate the process and get rid of the treasurer.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
And also we had a gentleman by the name of Gatewood Galbraith, and he wanted to end the war on drugs and wants to work towards that. He's run several times. He's fairly popular.
Yeah, how do these guys do? I mean, what kind of vote totals?
Last place, Gatewood probably got around 9%. The Libertarian for Treasurer got like 5%.
Not bad for Libertarians.
People,
I mean, 9% for a Libertarian. Was it a three-way race for the Libertarian guy?
Yeah, it was a three-way race. The Libertarian got 5%. Gatewood was running as an independent, though.
I see. Okay. Got it. So
9%.
Yeah, 9% for an independent,
right,
is probably about right. 5% for a libertarian is, you know, probably on the high side. And this has been going on for years, unfortunately, is watching these libertarians just try their darndest to get elected and spend all kinds of money and time and basically get the same voting returns year after year. It's pretty sad, and I hope that someday they wake up and join the Free State Project and get the hell out of there and come up to New Hampshire, where you actually have a chance to win an election, because here, the state rep seats, there's only something like 3,000 people per each state rep seat or something like that.
Yeah, it's roughly that.
And it's much easier to, you know, walk to every single house in a given district and talk to folks and, you know, knock on doors and do real campaigning here.
That's right.
Because it's just such a small place where you can have a, you know, you can have a much larger impact. For all the money and time that libertarian candidates spend across the country, spending a fraction of it here in New Hampshire would, I think, actually get people elected.
I would agree, because I think the Free State Project and libertarians here in New Hampshire, either Democrat or Republican leaning, are still they're doing fantastically well in getting into the House and Senate.
Bing, thanks for the call, man. I appreciate hearing from you tonight at 855-450-FREE. That's the SACL CAI toll-free line. You know, just to give you some idea of just how easy it could be to have influence here in New Hampshire, I spent the last, this past weekend on Saturday, they have the monthly Republican meetings on like one Saturday a month, and then there's one Monday a month that they have the monthly Democrat meetings here in Keene, and it's for the whole county of Cheshire County.
That's right.
And I'd never been to either of them before, and I decided, well, you know, I'm kind of having to take it easy from the realm of civil disobedience for a while, so might as well get involved in the system.
Good for
and
you.
See what things are like. And this is an election season. I mean, it's a municipal election season that just happened here this past week in Keene. And so I think that they're probably plus we're also dealing with a presidential primary. So I think you're mm-hmm. likely seeing more people show up at these meetings than you might see
usually,
on an off year.
Right.
And so at the Republican meeting, this is for the whole county, there were maybe 30 people.
Mm-hmm.
At the Democrat meeting, there were maybe 40 people.
Mm-hmm.
And so at the Democrat meeting, there were at least three, including myself, Free Staters at that meeting. I didn't recognize anybody at the Republican meeting. But just to give you some example of, you know, how small this is mm-hmm. here, like it wouldn't be a big task to bring 10 people out to a meeting and have a significant voice at either one of those meetings.
That's very true.
Yeah, and so, in fact, that's what's been happening, is a lot of, there have been Free Staters who have gotten involved. Some are involved in the Libertarian Party, but most of them are involved in the major parties, like the Republicans, mm-hmm. for instance, around the state have basically been invaded. I don't know if that's the right term. You know, they've been populated by liberty activists, and even some of the Democrat areas have as well. Like out here in Keene, it's more of a Democrat-heavy stronghold, and so
yes.
folks are getting involved in the Democrat Party out here. But I think it's useful to have liberty-minded people in both parties.
I would agree.
To change
Absolutely.
Not only the, you know, not only maybe the way the conversations are happening within the parties, but also to get liberty-minded people into positions of influence, I suppose, within the parties.
Just knowing who's who, I think, is absolutely a benefit. And I think it's great that you went to both meetings and not just one.
I wish I actually showed up late for the Democrats meeting. I wanted to be there for the whole thing, so I'll have to go to another one. In fact, no. I think next month I'll just go to both of them again. I don't know if you have to be like a member of the party to get into these.
I don't
things.
Believe you do, because I've been to both myself. It hasn't been recently, but I did the same myself just to kind of check it out and see what was going on. And it was a small group, much like you say, 30 maybe people on both sides, and just go around and introduce yourself and find out who's who and who you may come across if you decide to get politically active, quote unquote. You know, and it's interesting to me that such a small group of people is so influential in this particular county and gets so much done, you know, in terms of networking.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, it's great the amount of political movement I see just by small town interest. You know, this is the person that we know. It's the person that lives in our 6-block radius, so we're going to go out and help them.
I was talking with a guy on the phone. He called and left a message on the Pork 411 system here in New Hampshire, which is a system that an activist set up to allow folks to leave a message, and then this computer sends that message out as a MP3 or a wave attachment to an email that then hundreds of people receive. And so this guy called from California, and he was talking about, I forget exactly what he said on the Pork 411, but I was curious enough to call the guy back, and I said, so what's going on, basically? Like, are you going to move here, or that kind of thing? Because he had all these ideas, right? He had these ideas that he thought that we should do here. And I said, well, that sounds great. Why don't you come here and do it? Oh, no, I'm doing something out here in California.
But I thought I'd call you and tell you what you guys should be doing.
Yeah, and I'm on to something here, and we're going to change things out here in California. And the idea that you're going to change California is absurd, because then he went on to complain. Like, he spent half the phone call complaining to me about how bad California was. So after he complained about the fact that he knows that in California the state reps get paid over $150,000
right,
and have, you know, all manner of, like, perks, like offices and staff and, you know, all kinds of stuff comes along with this, the right to not get arrested when they're driving to, you know, the state house or whatever. They can't get pulled
over.
Well,
that's a constitutional protection in New Hampshire,
yeah,
actually.
There's that here, too. But so he goes through all these things that the refs have and then points out that you can't call them, you can't talk to them. And I said, well, they get paid $200 a year here in New Hampshire.
It's $100 a year. It's $200 a session.
Yeah, he actually corrected me on that.
Yeah.
So he knew how good it was here. So why again are you staying in California?
Right. Come on over to New Hampshire.
1-855-450-FREE. How long do people have to bang their heads up against these walls elsewhere before they realize this is the place to be? Hour 2 is next.
The Ruger LC9, compact, powerful, and perfect for personal protection. The LC9 is only slightly larger than the popular Ruger LCP, features a checkered grip frame to provide a secure and comfortable grip, and includes a finger grip extension floor plate. The LC9 also has a dovetailed high visibility 3-dot sight system, blued alloy steel barrel, manual safety, and loaded chamber indicator. The LC9, another innovative American-made product from Ruger. Learn more about the Ruger LC9 at Ruger.com/LC9.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. Are you looking for a concealed carry holster? Crossbreed Holsters is the home of the world-famous Super Tuck, the most comfortable concealed carry holster on the market today. Try one out and see how truly discreet and comfortable carrying concealed can be. And find out why we call it the ugliest holster you'll ever love. We are the standard others try to imitate.
Get the original. Get your Super Tuck at crossbreedholsters.com. Again, that's crossbreedholsters.com.